So you were one of the first people, and I understand there were 25 on the 25 households who were able to have these chickens.
Yes, and we were fourth on the list. So
how long have you had the chickens for?
We'll have had them for a year in July.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And is this something, I mean, have you guys owned chickens before? Or?
No, I did spend a lot of time on a ranch when I was a kid where there were chickens, but I've never personally owned them. And I don't think my husband has either, so.
So, I mean, urban chickens, it's, I guess, you know, 50 or so years ago, it wouldn't have been that uncommon, but now it's kind of, it's I guess things might be sort of coming full circle again, and it isn't that common. So what's the rationale for it?
For us, there were a couple of different reasons. We're both very involved in kind of the good food movement. I run a weekly farmers market and a local food events company, and we both serve on the board. Actually, my husband and I serve on the board of Slow Food Orlando, which is a global movement for good, clean, and fair food. So the idea of owning our own chickens was really attractive because we're trying to bring a little bit more transparency into the food that we're eating. We wanted to know what they were eating and how they were being treated. And then kind of second more, I guess that's a pretty personal reason, but a second more personal reason is because I run a farmer's market, I have access to a lot of really good, you know, pastured eggs from great farmers, but I wanted eggs without any soy in them. And a lot of chicken feed, even organic chicken feed, has soy in it. So by getting our own chickens, we were allowed to kind of control that. So, and then the third reason really is just flavor. We like good eggs, and we get good eggs from our backyard chicken.
What's the problem with having eggs with soy in the chicken feed?
It really depends. For a lot of people, it's not a problem. Soy kind of comes back again to me in terms of food politics. It's one of those big monoculture crops that is not always cleanly produced. But for me, it's also about medical reasons. I have a soy sensitivity, and I'd like to be able to control when I'm consuming it, and it's hidden in a lot of foods, including eggs.
Oh, that's interesting. So you were fourth on the list for the pilot program. I understand there was a lot of interest in this program when it was rolled out by the City of Orlando, and there was a bit of a waiting list as well.
Yes, there was a waiting list of more homes than were in the permit cycle within, I think, a week. I think the day that they opened it up to the public, it was full. So, and I've heard recently that they are expanding the program. It's been really popular, and there haven't been any problems with it. So I think just as quickly as the waiting list was opened up, they've probably got another one already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're sort of doubling the next intake. So sort of 50 people, 50 extra people can now
right.
be
mm-hmm.
on that list. I mean, was there ever any doubt in your mind that it would be a bad program or there'd be issues with it?
You know, I think if it hadn't had so many details, it could have gone badly. It's a pretty detailed pilot. We had to take a class. We had to actually do the, you know, self-starting work of going to the city and having a meeting with the planning department saying this is where our coop will be located and this is how far it is from property lines. You know, they wanted us to be proactive about it. And if we hadn't taken the class and we hadn't, you know, gone into the city to site the coop, I could see where there would be problems with, you know, noise or smell or, you know, disease spreading among the birds. They're very easy to maintain, but you have to know how to watch out for, you know, medical problems and things like that. So I could see where a pilot program would have been bad if it had not had so many requirements to mm-hmm. get going.
And I mean, is that something that people bring up? Like, do you talk to people who are like, oh, you have chickens, what about salmonella? What about bird flu? Things like that.
You know, I think a few years ago that would have been more of a concern. But when we talk to people about our chickens, they're pretty enthusiastic and positive about it. You know, some people say, wow, you must get really delicious eggs. Some people say that must be really fun for you. And a lot of people, they say, well, that's great. You can control your food supply. You have some transparency in production. So I haven't had anyone say anything negative. We've read, you know, online every now and then people will say, you know, that it's dirty to have chickens in your yard, but they're pretty much the same as having any other pet that is really well cared for and well loved.
Do you think this sort of opens the door a little bit to other kind of urban farming type animals? I mean, do you think people would be able to then sort of start raising goats or?
I doubt it. I think chickens are kind of special in that if you only have a few of them, they don't need a large footprint. They don't need a lot of maintenance. When you start getting into kind of the livestock thing, I know there are people who'd love to have pigs in their yard and stuff, for instance. I think that, you know, chickens do present a very unique case. But they're kind of the perfect urban animal for that kind of homesteading household. They really do a lot of work for our little home farm. Mm-hmm. So.
And are they producing a lot of eggs for you? I mean, is it in terms of getting the eggs that you obviously, that's like the end result of having chickens in your yard, right? Is that sort of, are they producing for you?
Right now, when the days are longer, you know, in the winter they dropped off a little bit on production, but right now we're getting between 17 and 21 eggs a week. And there are only two of us in our household, so we have more eggs than we need.
What do you do with them?
We give some to our neighbors and friends and family, but we make a lot of things with eggs. We do a lot of baking and, you know, we usually have eggs for breakfast, so mm-hmm. a little bit of everything.
What's the lifespan of a chicken?
They live quite a long time from what I understand. I mean, you know, 20 some years, but it could be more. I could be totally making that up. I know they live a long time, but their egg production starts to drop off after about 3 years. They'll continue laying eggs, but it just won't be as vigorous. It won't be, you know, right now they're laying eggs every 36 hours.
And where did you get these? Because you've got three chickens, and that's like the limit under the terms of the
current
program.
Limit. Mm-hmm. We, again, thanks to the connections we have running a farmer's market, bought them from a farmer in Apopka. She raises heritage breed birds for fun, and we were able to buy them right at the age when they start laying, so we skipped the scary raising them from chicks part.
And when they sort of start losing their, when they start sort of the egg production starts dropping off, are you going to retire them or are you going to sort of send them out to a farm or something?
We perhaps haven't really decided yet. And that's actually one of the reasons that they're amending the pilot to allow a fourth bird. Three is the minimum because otherwise the pecking order thing doesn't work among chickens and they'll sometimes kind of beat each other. So three was the minimum and it seemed like a good safe household number. The reason they've added a fourth is that you can start phasing a new bird in as your other ones stop laying. We've looked, you know, again, we know enough farmers that we could certainly retire them. I don't know. I think most people are probably opposed to the idea of eating them after all that time. But we'll probably keep one of them forever because she's become a part of the family, and then the rest of them will get retired over time.
Do you think that's something kind of tricky? Because it's like, it's not really a pet, is it? I mean, it's sort of in the sort of a bit of a gray area between a pet and a farm animal that's
right.
sort of producing food for humans. So
right.
Do you think of them like pets, or do you think of them more like sort of these are useful animals for us and that's why we're keeping them here?
I think we're kind of towing the line on that one. It's probably pretty difficult for a lot of people, but especially in what I do, I personally think it's important to accept and acknowledge where your food comes from and, you know, without sounding too granola, be thankful for it. So I actually, you know, I do eat meat, and I have been, you know, because we eat local, I've been to pretty much every farm that we source our meat from, and I've seen it in action, if, you know, so to speak. So I don't have that difficulty with the idea that this is a food producer, but they are really amazing animals, and they do have personalities, and as spoiled as they are, you pretty much have to say that they are pets. Mm-hmm. So we kind of toe that line. It's a little bit of both. You know, I've never had a pet that gave me eggs before, so you never really forget that they're also producing food for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read one article sort of describing the you know, people who are interested in raising chickens in their backyard, and one label was urban hipsters. Do you think, is that a sort of fair label, or is that a little bit on the nose?
I think in some contexts that might be a fair label. Again, I'd put that to a couple of years ago in this, you know, sort of good food movement. The thing about food as a movement is that everybody has to eat it, and it's a very easy common ground to connect on. And when I've talked to a lot of people in the work that I do, it's not just a niche hip thing anymore. You will find a lot of urban, you know, quote unquote hipsters who probably have chickens or, you know, growing vegetable gardens. But, you know, we meet a lot of people who grew up north, for instance, and always had a garden in the summer, and they're coming back to it here, and you have a lot of people who are kind of getting back in touch with their family histories and growing things. And if you go to the farmers market, for instance, it's a very, very multi-generational movement. So I'm sure there are some kind of, you know, old hipsters out there, but usually by definition, you're talking about a young movement. And one of the things I really like about it, and I think if you look at the mix of people who have chickens, it's very mixed in terms of, you know, hipness and age and, you know, interests outside of the actual chicken thing. Some people, this is all they're doing. Some people have a full-on organic farm happening in their backyard. So I wouldn't call it an exclusively hip thing.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question is this something which is here to stay, or is it a bit of a fad, do you think?
I say it's a 50-50. In our work, we're trying to get past this being a niche movement. I personally believe that everybody should get the same ingredients, should get the same access to really good, clean food. And if this is one way that some people can choose to do it, I think it's pretty hard to go back once you've got that in your life. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine us ever not having backyard chickens as long as it's legal for us to do. So I think you'll get a little bit of it. And I mean, you saw that happen with the pilot. For every person who made it onto the list, there were a lot of people who kind of dropped out once they saw what had to go into it. And for those people, you know, my hope is that there will be more supply of good, clean eggs for them to buy at the grocery store or at farmers markets and that sort of, or through co-ops. But, you know, I really do think a lot of this change is permanent. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's happened before in food systems. So I do think a good deal of it is permanent.
So if you want to get set up, say you're one of the people who is able to get a permit to raise chickens in your backyard, how much is it going to cost you?
It really depends. We were very lucky in that the previous homeowner here had quails and doves. So he had an aviary, and we spent probably a couple $100 and a few weekends converting it to a chicken coop, you know, lumber and some other supplies. We paid $20 each for our birds. If you start from chicks, they're actually significantly cheaper. And then we pay about $50 every 3 months on feed. So really, it's not that expensive to get started. You're probably out a couple $100 in the beginning, and it really depends on your coop. If you can build it yourself, your material cost is pretty low. Some people went ahead and ordered them, custom built. You know, you can get them at like Palmer Feed Store and that sort of thing. So it really depends on how crazy you want to get with your chicken coop and what kind of feed you're going to give them. So,
Is it sort of a net benefit? Like, does it make good economic sense for you, or is it more just the fact that you know where the food's coming from? Like, do you think you're saving money? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, we went into it not expecting to, but we are. Absolutely. First of all, eggs are a good cheap protein to start with. So it's there's always at least one healthy source of protein in the pantry, basically. But when you kind of do the math, with a lot of organic eggs going for $5 a dozen, we're definitely saving money by raising them ourselves. And they kind of serve multiple purposes in our household. When we, you know, cut up vegetables for a recipe, they eat all the scraps, so it's zero waste, and then that means less feed that they're consuming. They get a lot of work done for us in the yard. Like right now, we've been letting them loose in particular areas to get the ground cleared to put in raised beds in the fall. So they actually, in addition to not costing us as much as just going out and buying organic eggs every week, they're saving us money and time in other areas, which was not expected. We were ready, prepared to spend more money just to have them and to have that quality egg.
Mm-hmm. And you don't, I mean, I assume you're not allowed to have a rooster or something that would make a lot of noise in the morning.
Right, no roosters. First of all, you don't need them for eggs. They are loud, they're territorial, and they can be pretty aggressive, depending on the situation and the breed and all of that. So there's really no reason to have them in an urban setting. You know, the one thing that roosters are really great for is protecting the flock. But when you have three and you have a good, you know, well-built coop, you don't need a rooster to protect your flock. That's what you're here for, basically.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you think needs to be said about, you know, where this program's going or where you see it ending up?
I hope that it becomes an ordinance that passes here in Orlando. I think that it will always be a program where people self-select. So you won't suddenly see chickens in every backyard in Orlando. It's not for everybody. But I do hope that it kind of moves forward and gives people that want to take it on the opportunity to do it, because it has been a really nice thing for us, and not just because of the quality of food we have. It's great for us.
Let me just ask you too, I mean, this area, Audubon Park, is this the only place in Orlando where you can raise chickens?
There are multiple districts, and I'm, you know, forgive me for not knowing exactly where they all fall, but I believe Patty Sheehan's district, we are in Robert Stewart's district. There are three or four, I think, Daisy Linens and Commissioner Ings. They've all kind of signed on, and you know, there was one district where it's still kind of questionable whether the community wants it, and I suppose that's kind of the next step. But definitely the neighborhoods that have signed on are the neighborhoods you would have expected. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Audubon Park, there's a lot of support for, you know, sort of an independent and spirited lifestyle. We do have a lot of, you know, small independent businesses with a lot of personality, and it kind of makes sense that this is the neighborhood where a lot of the chickens live.
Plus the name, right? Audubon Park.
Right, yes. We do have the whole bird thing going on. So.
You think they might have to rename some of the streets?
I have recommended that things get named after our chickens, but nobody has jumped on board. So we'll see what happens.
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you for coming over.